Blog Talk Radio.
Era noapte târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-o fă la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce-am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România mă urmări cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va
arde. Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And then one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your humble host. And as always, we have a smorgasbord of topics to get to, a lot of stuff to unpack, and perhaps somewhere along the way even squeeze in your questions for good measure. Well, this week has been a little trying in the Boldea household. My daughter Victoria picked up a bug from somewhere. I don't know where from, but it's that time of year. Tis the season for picking up bugs, especially if you're going to go and play with other children. And it's one of her favorite things to do because she's a child. Children love playing with other children. And it's one of the reasons that I'm all for the idea of homeschooling. I understand the principle of it. I think it's very good for the education of the child. But as far as social interaction, they do need other children to be around at some point. They need to have that interaction. I mean, my daughter just brightens up whenever she's around any children her age. So you could see that need to be around, you know, other children. But anyway, she picked up a bug and she ran a fever up until yesterday. And you can tell when she's not feeling well because she's just not herself. You can tell when something's not right with my daughter because she goes from an energetic, smiling, boisterous, joyful, playful child to one that just wants to curl up in bed on the couch, and not do anything. She's you know, lethargic, and that's the scariest thing of all, knowing my daughter the way I know her. Always bouncing around, always wanting to play catch, always wanting to do something, you know. Now, because both my wife and I know my daughter's natural state, we can deduce when something isn't right. Because when something isn't right, she acts different than she would if everything were okay. Now, I know I started out in a whole different place, but there is a point to be made here, I think. I was thinking about this right before the show started, and this is how my brain works sometimes. I just go off on tangents and begin to think on topics that have no connection to others, but eventually meet at some point. Now, in order for you or I to know when something isn't right, we must first have a reference point as to when something was right from which to compare. If no reference point exists, if all you've known is the present without having had a baseline for something different or better or more real, then you will simply use the present as your baseline. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I can feel it, so just bear with me. It's going to be a doozy, hopefully. If not, it'll be a big letdown because all you heard about was my daughter's fever. Now, again, because I know my daughter's natural state, and I know what my daughter's natural state is, I can tell very quickly when she's not in her natural state. What is endlessly frustrating, what is troubling and disturbing, is the fact that all much of the present day church has ever known is this farce that passes for Christianity, which is being practiced by so many professing believers. They have never known the power or the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have never been witness to miracles or prophecy or experienced something more than an emotional release during a hymn or a power ballad or a tingle in their fingertips when everyone around them was getting excited like at some rock concert. So this is their baseline for spirituality. Experiencing something, having an emotional release, that to them equals spirituality. They don't know that anything more exists. Again, this is their baseline. And they believe wholeheartedly that this lukewarm, half-hearted, casual disinterest, this uncommitted way of life, is normal. This is what Christianity ought to be in their minds, because they've never known anything different. Now, even with this sort of Christianity being the baseline, even with lukewarm and divided hearts being what they perceive as the normal state of the church, the descent into heresy is so fast and so absolute that some within the church are beginning to try and pump the brakes a little. They're beginning to see the wall towards which the church is headed, and they're coming to the chilling realization that they're far past what they thought would be the bottom. I was in Turkey, of all places, many, many years ago. I have the skin pigmentation to blend into Middle Eastern countries, and because everyone else was afraid to go, and I have a Romanian passport, I got to go to nice places really, really cheap. So I found myself in Turkey. Beautiful place, if you happen to be by their coastal region. If you're in Istanbul, little dusty, little crowded, but nevertheless. Antalya, very nice. Alanya, very nice. But that's not the point. The point is, something, I don't know what, compelled me to go cliff diving one day. Those of you that know me and know my stature and know that I am a girthsome fellow would probably, you know, are already laughing. I know you are. It's okay. I forgive you. You can laugh. But anyway, I decided to go cliff diving. And the worst feeling of the whole experience is that half a second when you expect the water, when you're expecting your feet to touch something and you're not, that's when it really sets in. That's when you start having a real difficult time, you know, trying not to scream because you know you're not supposed to land in the water with your mouth open. It's that last half a second that you know you're supposed to hit bottom and you're not. You're supposed to hit something solid or at least semi-solid and you're not hitting it. This is what some of the church is waking up to, and they're beginning to panic. They're in that fragment, they're in that second wherein they thought they would hit bottom and they haven't hit it yet. Look, we've had an entire generation of prosperity living and prosperity thinking and prosperity acting. We've had an entire generation of wolves passing themselves off as sheep, fleecing the flock and making the innocent feel guilty for not ponying up more of their money because they couldn't afford the upgrade to the bigger private jet. An entire generation. Look back on it. See when this whole nonsense started. We've had an entire generation wherein emotive manipulation was as close as we ever got to true spirituality. We've had an entire generation wherein entertainment has been substituted for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, and even with that empty, vacuous mindset as our baseline, we're starting to be concerned with how far the church has sunk into the darkness. How do I put it? It would be like my wife and I believing that our daughter's baseline, our daughter's normal, was the curling up in bed or on the couch. Now, if we were to believe that, if we were to believe that her normal was just curling up on the couch and just laying in bed, then we wouldn't really be concerned until she started convulsing or until she passed out altogether, because to us it would be her normal. But because we knew her as something other than this lethargic child, it concerned us deeply when she became something that she usually isn't. I hope this is making sense, because it's kind of deep. It really goes a long way to explaining why more people aren't concerned with the state of the church. Look, it's because our baseline and our reference point is unnaturally skewed that we're not more worried about the current state of the church. It's because our reference point is unnaturally skewed that we're not more concerned with where the church is headed. Our baseline is out of whack. And because our baseline is out of whack, this is why we're not hearing more repentance being preached from the pulpit. Look, this is a reality check. You have pastors of congregations who get exposed for sleeping with their own parishioners and even getting them pregnant, and they still get to be pastors come next Sunday. You have men who continue to insist that everyone call them prophet, who have moved the goalpost as far as who the Antichrist is supposed to be 17,000 times thus far. And there's no shame in their delivery, and there's no introspection, and there's no self-awareness with these men. unwilling to self-censor and shut up for a few breaths. Now, in case you just noticed I got a little heated, my life is sort of bleeding into this program at this point. And I can't help but share it with you because in understanding the context, you'll likely understand why I'm so frustrated. So someone whom I haven't heard from in 6-8 years emails me this week with, "Mike, you have to get this out there. Let the people know." Exclamation point. Now, you know, when an exclamation point is included in an email, it's important. But yeah, this was the header. "Mike, you have to get this out there. Let the people know." Now, being the gullible doofus that I am, I clicked on the link. And lo and behold, ha-ha, the newest identity of the Antichrist himself was revealed to my newly opened eyes. Now, what you must understand is that I've gotten similar emails from this same individual regarding the Antichrist and the unmasking of him about 5 or 6 times over the course of the last 12 years or so. Now, the first incarnation of the Antichrist was supposed to be that jug-eared fellow in England, commonly referred to as Prince Charles. When his ears didn't magically turn into horns a few years later, apparently the identity of the Antichrist changed again, and it was supposed to be some Hungarian hockey player, if I remember correctly. Now, nobody's ever heard of this guy since. He was probably, you know, harassed a bunch of times by a bunch of people and you know, informed unbeknownst to him that he was the Antichrist. But again, no one's ever heard from this guy. You know, he's still breaking people's teeth or something on the ice, hopefully. I don't know. Or maybe he retired. But it didn't turn out to be the Antichrist either. Now, after the hockey player, and I'm sure I'm skipping over a couple people, but I can't keep track of all of them. These are just the highlights. So after the hockey player, what was it? It was Obama's turn at bat. And when all he turned out to be was a Muslim sympathizing, white hating communist and community agitator, target moved again. New guy. Now, the new identity of the Antichrist, supposedly, is Donald Trump's son-in-law. There you go. You heard it here first. Why, you may ask? Why is this thin young man now the Antichrist? Well, because the guy's family owns a piece of real estate at 666 Madison Avenue. So, ha, there you go. Isn't it clear? Don't you see it? Doesn't it all make sense now? Boom! Mystery solved. All is well. Well, at least until this guy is proven not to be the Antichrist, and, well, we move on to somebody else. I don't know. Maybe a guy who trains and raises carrier pigeons. Because he knows that an EMP will take out all the communications, and he'll have all the pigeons. And he who controls information controls the world. So look for a guy that trains carrier pigeons. That's what I think. But seriously, if you've given a word 17 different times about a singular event or a singular person, and you've been wrong 17 different times, allow me to be just a smidge skeptical. Just a wee bit. But see, there was a caveat to this email. Because apparently, if I didn't share the contents thereof, if I did not inform you that a man by the name of Jared Kushner is now the newly created Antichrist, I will be held liable by none other than God himself. And that he would punish me severely for withholding such important information. So now you know the root of my frustration. Not only do you prophesy falsely on multiple occasions regarding the Antichrist or the identity thereof, you are now threatening those who don't board the crazy boat to Insane Island with you with God's everlasting wrath. That's a tidy little package, isn't it? Believe me or else God's gonna get you. Well, people believed you before. I know people that have upturned their entire lives, moved off to keto-laden lands because of something someone told them they needed to do. Otherwise, they would be punished. Only to end up coming back to the U.S. 5-6 years later, broke and penniless and looking for a job because you can't eat mosquitoes. This is what troubles me, okay? It's like Christian ministries today are trying to be more National Enquirer than Bereans. Everything has to be sensationalized to the utmost. Not a little bit, but all the way. Everything has to have a hook. Everything has to have a catch. And each individual has to outdo the other. Each one has to have some sort of new revelation that blows the other guy out of the water and makes him the number one YouTube prophet for a day. When it becomes more about sensationalism than it does about Jesus, that's when it's time to get off at the next station and simply walk away. Look, it's so easy to get caught up in nonsense. It's so easy to take personal opinion and try to spiritualize it or make it seem as though it's divine revelation. Because when you make it seem like divine revelation, it has more gravitas. It has more weight. It has more substance than with the opinion of a guy sitting in his basement in front of a green screen talking about how the Antichrist shall arise from Madison Avenue. Like I said, it's easy to give the people what they want rather than what they need. And what they want is red meat, man. They want something cool. They want something exciting, something they can sink their teeth into. They want to hear about black holes and intergalactic vortexes and cosmic anomalies that will open gateways and portals to the dark side that will allow demons to manifest. Really? Seriously, just you and me here. Really? You'd think the devil needs a vortex or a black hole to manifest? Have you turned on your evening news of late? There are people documenting murder on Facebook Live. There are people documenting rape on Facebook Live. There are people documenting their own suicides on Facebook Live. But you think the devil needs a portal? You don't think the devil's already here, actively working to tear down what little remains of the church, actively working to infiltrate and disrupt and distort what little remains of the truth today? We're looking for goblins and villains every bush and behind every tree. But we will do anything not to shine the light on our own hearts to see where the true evil already lies. We're looking to cast down principalities and powers from high places, when we haven't even managed to have enough self-control to keep from bringing shame to the name of God by our actions and our conduct. But yes, we must tell the world of the new Antichrist. That is the preeminent mission. Tell the world of the new Antichrist and protect against his villainous scheme to mind control all of us from high atop 666 Madison Avenue by purchasing a handy dandy multifunctional and surprisingly versatile tinfoil hat for only $49.95 plus $24.99 shipping and handling. It will come in a discreet brown box, so your neighbors don't know. Get them today. Supplies are limited. They'll wonder why no one will take us seriously. We still wonder why the darkness is winning, even though their ideas are utterly absurd and they have no argumentative footing to stand on. Look, think about this for a second. The godless are so bankrupt of ideas. They are so inferior when it comes to being a contender on the battlefield of ideas that they're actively trying to silence all opposing or contradictory opinions. Come to that. Let's face it, when somebody like Maxine Waters is the new poster child for your party, the only option you have left is to try to shut everybody else up. And I know I pick on Maxine Waters, but man, have you heard her speak? That's all I'm asking. I got nothing against the insane old loon, but come on, man, have you heard her speak? So, again, they're methodically going about silencing every voice of dissent. And doing it with apparent ease, because we have as yet not caught on to their schemes or we're too cowardly to try to put up a fight. As the infamous Al, give me your money, Sharpton once said, resist we must. If you don't know what that's about, it's an inside joke. Some people have difficulty reading a teleprompter. Our beloved friend, Reverend Al, is one of those people. Anyway, but seriously, they're using the same old playbook over and over and over again. And it's very simple. Isolate, demonize, accuse, boycott, raise a stink, and get the person fired or get them to resign or throw so much mud on them, warranted or not, that their reputation will forever be in tatters. Look, I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. One thing you've got to hand to the other side is that they know how to circle the wagons. Like it or not, they have a common enemy and no principles to keep them from achieving their goals by any means necessary. What's infuriating is that they expect everyone to play the same game, but they get to play by different rules. Let's be honest here, shall we? No beating around the bush, no innuendo. William Jefferson Clinton is very likely a rapist. He is a predator. He is a man who compulsively abuses women. Save for a few guys with the Bill Clinton is a rapist t-shirt. During the entire election season, That little factoid gets buried very deep. And no talking head on television wants to reference it or talk about it anymore. Now, the latest scalp on the wall of the left is Bill O'Reilly. And whether you love him or you hate him, if you look at the accusations leveled against him, they're pretty much the same like the ones leveled against, Herman Cain and Judge Clarence Thomas, and yes, dare I say, even Donald Trump. Because, look, let's face it, once the election was over, all those lawsuits of women being abused by him sort of went away, didn't they? Where's Gloria Allred? Does anybody know? Are the lawsuits proceeding? Of course not. Is she still demanding justice? Of course not. Because it was all a farce. It didn't work. They tried, though. Boy, did they try. Dozens of women with similar stories, and yet, mysteriously, all of them shrunk back into virtual anonymity after it didn't work. Now, I'm going to guess that the same thing will happen with most of Bill O'Reilly's accusers. If you've read up on it, look, the only accusation against the man was words, talk, things he said. He said things that these women misconstrued as offensive or sexist or misogynist or whatever else. And they got him. The man no longer has a job. He no longer has a platform. And this is the one thing that, again, we have to keep in mind, keep in context. No one is accusing this man of rape or anything close to what William Jefferson Clinton was accused of. Yet they were all calling for his head, and they got it. So who's next? That's the question. Who is next? Because understand that these people will not stop. I guarantee you, it'll be a matter of weeks. They will pick a target. They will isolate the target. They will demonize the target. They will vilify the target. And they will attempt to destroy someone else in short order. Because save for imprisoning dissenters, this is the next best thing. If they could have it their way, the dissenters would already be in prison. But if you can't get them to be in prison, if you can't have the utopia you dreamed of where there is only one voice and no dissent, then the next best thing is to remove their platforms. Get them fired. Silence their voice. And that's as close to prison as you can get without actually doing it. Look, we talked about this in previous programs. Because of the internet, because of something like this, a blog talk radio sort of program, because of podcasts and everything else, there are no longer gatekeepers to information. There are no longer a select group of men or women that tell you what they think you should hear. There is no longer a triage and a massaging of the truth in order to fit a narrative. We're putting out information all the time. And they realized that this was largely one of the reasons that they lost the previous election. So what are they doing now? You guessed it. Trying to silence dissent. What was it? Facebook will now tell you what is fake news. They will pick and choose what you should know, because if Mark Zuckerberg doesn't know the best for you, who does? YouTube, demonetizing ad revenue for people that they deem outside the fold. Thankfully, I do not make money on YouTube. and I answer to no overlords, and I am very rarely on Facebook, so ha! But a lot of people are affected by this. I've gotten emails from people that put out YouTube content. They do videos all the time, and they've monetized them because they give up their time, and I understand. You know, we have different life philosophies when it comes to this. I believe that a man of God should be a tent builder, that he should have a way to earn a income and feed his family outside of ministry. But I don't begrudge anyone that believes ministry should supply their need. A workman is worthy of his hire. He is worthy of being compensated for the time that he puts in. I know that the real, real hardcore ones out there, oh, it's anathema. It's not anathema. It's personal conviction. The fact that you're too cheap is another story. Don't try to put it on someone else's shoulder. Look, I know people, brothers in Christ, who have 6, 7, 8 children. They have full-time jobs, and they still manage to pastor and shepherd. And they sacrifice time away from their families. They sacrifice time away from their children in order to serve the people of God. How dare I go to somebody like that and go, well, you shouldn't be taking a paycheck. How dare you, sir? How dare you? Again, context. I choose to have a different life philosophy. I choose not to be dependent on ministry for the welfare of my family, because that way I can tell you the truth at any moment, even if the truth hurts, even if it makes you want to not support the ministry anymore, even if it makes you hate me. But then again, I'm not a pastor. We've talked about this as well. I don't have a flock. I don't have the temperament for a flock. So I said all of that to say this. I know this is turning out to be an amazing program. The darkness is doing everything it can to make people fall in line. The darkness is doing everything it can to either silence dissent or make you tweak the things you have to say to the point of them being without teeth, useless. And this matters. We need to understand that this matters not only in the short term, but especially in the long term. Why does this matter? A new normal is being established. A new baseline is being created, and it's one out of whole cloth. And the new baseline and the new reality, apparently, is that the only thing that is viable in today's society is socialism. And that all the forefathers of this nation were evil men who did nothing right. And because of patriarchy, we're not all flying around in our own private spaceships having robot servants fan us while we eat figs. See, the new baseline is that we are in horrible shape as a species because of patriarchy. Not that we've achieved all that we've achieved because of it. So anyone who says different now is targeted. And we've come to the point wherein adults paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to attend college are brainwashed to the point of insanity. And they come out blaming everyone else for their predicament except for themselves and the choices that they made. Now, I know we're getting from the spiritual to the socioeconomic, but it all blends in eventually. You have an entire generation of unskilled, lazy, self-loathing buffoons graduating college with no prospects, tons of debt, and a real propensity to look to socialism as the one silver lining in their otherwise bleak existence, not really grasping the full extent of what socialism is, not really caring for that matter. It's free stuff. That's all we care about. Free stuff. I'm sorry. I know a lot of you will be angry with me over this. I know you'll scoff at the idea, but personally speaking, I don't believe that you should get to vote on the future of the nation, pay any taxes. Even a dollar. If you pay a dollar in taxes, then you can vote. I don't care how much you pay in taxes, but something, anything. If you don't pay any taxes, then you shouldn't get a say as to how the nation is governed. Sorry, you just shouldn't. You have 47% of the people who sponge off the system, who find every program and handout and welfare and aid and benefit, then vote for the continuation of those things for the rest of their adult lives. Because they found a way to game the system. They found a way to sit at home all day, waste away their existence watching One Life to Live or As the World Turns, and still have a roof over their heads. And no, I'm not talking about the disabled or those who are not mentally competent. I'm not talking about someone who's fallen on hard times and needs a bit of help until they get back on their feet. I'm talking about those who are chronically unemployed, those who are able-bodied, who can work, who can produce, who can do something. Yet they choose not to. Because it's far less taxing on their constitution to get money added on an EBT card than it is to show up to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Look, they had near riots because they wanted to drug test welfare recipients in Vermont. Sorry, kitty, if you can afford weed, you can afford to get off of the government dole. That's just my thing. If you can afford to get high every other day, maybe government welfare, not the thing for you. Can you tell that I did my taxes this week? Yeah, good times. And yes, I paid in. Because people who are self-employed always pay. Anyway, who else can we alienate today? It's been one of those weeks. Again, they're getting more and more interesting. Apparently, North Korea is a wee bit over-caffeinated this morning. They threatened to turn the U.S. to ashes with a super mighty preemptive strike. And look, I understand that the initial response is laughter, but there's a fine line between not taking these sort of threats seriously and realizing that when such threats go unanswered, it only bolsters them in their stupidity. It's sort of like these kids with their non-binary gender lunacy. Have you heard about this? Oh, good stuff. They're so far off the reservation, they're just making stuff up and expecting the rest of the world to nod in unison and validate their idiocy. You want to be called Thistle? Why, yes, of course, Thistle it is. Neither male nor female, you are monochromatic intergalactic species that was the result of, I don't know, alien fecal matter when one of the ancients from the planet Nibiru had to go potty. Of course you are, dear. Of course you are. Look, it's so tempting to just give in and get on the crazy train. It really is. I can come up with some real doozies if I put my mind to it. I really could. And apparently nothing is too fanciful in today's day and age. Well, except, of course, the fact that the Son of God came and died for the sins of mankind so that man might be reconciled unto God. That, sir, is a bridge too far, I say. Alien fecal matter? Sure. Big Bang Theory? Sure. Gender? Social construct? Of course it is. It's not biological. It's not science. It's just a social construct. Indubitably. Just ask Bruce Jenner. Grandma a chimpanzee? Of course she was. Jesus dying on a cross for man's sins? What? Are you insane? How can you believe such lunacy? Yeah, this is where we are. And again, when our silence allows the darkness to define the narrative, this is what we get. Lunacy being passed off as perfectly normal and legitimate. Historical fact being scoffed at and dismissed. We're doing away with biology, science, X and Y chromosomes. Nope. If you feel like a lady, you're a lady indeed. That's it. Why'd you go to school? Study biology? Why? You are what you feel. If you feel like you're a turnip, you're a turnip. Well done, 2017. Looking forward to 2020. Because it's not slowing down. I'm just aghast at what's going on in today's society. And although I've said it often enough, wherein you all know, I blame the church in large part for where we are. Because, man, we just didn't have the backbone to say anything. Just, oh, it's okay. Maybe when we finish building the new addition on the church, it's okay. We're welcoming and all-inclusive because the homosexuals have extra income and they have disposable income because they don't raise children. It's okay. Welcome, everybody. Today we're going to talk about happiness. It's okay. And here we are. Thank you, Joel Osteen. Good on you. Meanwhile, it would seem that the religion of peace has been at it hard and heavy again. And we have more portraits of peace than we can shake a stick at. The latest being a multiple shooting in Fresno this week, and just now coming through the news feed, one policeman confirmed dead in Paris, France, because their inclusiveness and tolerance is so appreciated and well-received by the Muslim community. So this is what we know thus far. The attack happened on the Champs-Élysées, where all the tourists congregate and whatnot. The assailant is dead, but so is one police officer. And guess what? The French elections are this week. So remember we talked about a lady known as Marie Le Pen? Keep an eye on her. It may surprise you. Now, this will likely develop with time, but for now, yep, another moment of peace brought to you by the most tolerant religion on the planet, of course. Oh, and did you hear about this? I promised myself I wouldn't forget, and I didn't. I think it was during, the Fresno attack that the assailant was yelling the well-known and well-worn Allahu Akbar as he killed three people. But the AP, that's right, the Associated Press, of all places, reported simply that the man was yelling, God is great, in Arabic. How do you do that? Why, he was almost mistaken for a Baptist or a Quaker or one of those ultra-violent Amish folk. So basically, you have the Associated Press running cover for Muslim extremists. This is what journalism has become in this country. And you wonder why everyone has taken to calling it fake news? Hint, because it is. The man wasn't yelling, God is great. He he wasn't quoting from the book of 2 Corinthians, to quote our now president. He was yelling, Allahu Akbar. That's what he was yelling. Anyway, all right. Before we get much further into the weeds, because I can go on. I needed to vent a little, and this was the perfect place. We have your questions to get to. And the first one comes from Bill, and Bill says this, enjoy your program, even if we don't agree on everything. I don't agree on everything with myself. I don't agree on everything with my wife. I'm not expecting to agree with everything on you, with everything with you, Bill, but okay. I do have one question. If it gives people a little comfort, what's wrong with believing in the pre-tribulation theory? Or I guess he meant the pre-tribulation rapture theory. And see, now I could be just mean-spirited and just say, because it's a lie. But I'm not going to be mean-spirited because I'm a generally nice guy. So short answer, Bill, is because it creates an intellectual paradox that can lead to everything from the denial of Christ to the taking of the mark of the beast. Let me explain. If my firm faith and my belief is that I will not be here to witness either the tribulation or the rise of the Antichrist or the implementation of the mark of the beast, then whatever it is that does happen while I'm still here, possibly cannot possibly be those things in my mind, because I do not believe I will be here to witness them. Does that make sense? So whatever happens while I'm still here cannot be the rise of the Antichrist or the tribulation, because my firm belief is that I will not be here for any of them. So what if someone wants to chip your forehead or your hand? It can't be the mark of the beast because you believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. So what if nations are aligning in the same manner foretold in the Bible? Possibly be the War of Armageddon getting ready to play out because you don't believe that we're supposed to be here for such things, or that, in fact, we will be here for them. You see, that's the whole thing about baselines and intellectual paradoxes. It's one thing when talking to someone who is open-minded about the topic. It's quite another thing when talking about it with someone that is firmly convinced that they are in the right, that they will not be here for the last days, and that those parts of the Bible discussing the last days cannot pertain to them because they don't believe that they will be here for them. Intellectual paradoxes go, this is quite the doozy. Because you refuse to acknowledge the fundamental premise that you will likely be here as witness to all the things the Bible talks about, then you will see everything going on around you through that prism. And you will deny what your own eyes are seeing, because your belief structure will not allow you to do so. I hope that makes sense. It made sense in my head. Simply put, it cannot be because it has not happened. How about that? Because the rapture did not yet occur, this cannot be X, Y, or Z. This is why it's dangerous to have a false hope or a false sense of hope and believe in something that is extra-biblical. Even though it gives people comfort in the temporary, even though they might get some semblance of comfort in believing that they're not going to be here to see all the things the Bible talks about, because of that belief, they may be tempted to do things they otherwise would not have done, such as taking the mark. So, Bill, I hope I've answered your question. I realize I got a little complicated, but this is one of the main reasons why I believe we need to really assess what we believe regarding the taking up of the church. Because a lot of people, look, I want to believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. The Bible won't let me. So this is where we're at. We either believe what makes us feel good. We either believe what gives us a little comfort. Or we believe the truth. And live out our lives accordingly and prepare accordingly. With that, it seems that we're almost out of time. Tomorrow I head off to Indiana. So I'm going to hand it off to Gino for the last few minutes. He's going to tell you a few things. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to rant and vent and everything else. And Lord willing, we will see you here next week. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. Gino, it's on you.
Thank you, Michael. Tomorrow night we will be in Elkhart, Indiana, and that meeting's at Comfort Suites Hotel, North Point, 404 North Point Boulevard. Saturday night we'll be in Shipshewana at Ben's Pop Pretzel 30. You can check out, if you have questions, email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. And Sunday morning we'll be at the Ligonier Assembly of God Church in Indiana. Thank you so much for listening tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.